Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where we engage with colourful little cardboard oblongs for longer and with closer attention than is strictly necessary, as we attempt to understand the memories, meanings and stories held by picture postcards. I'm Tom Jackson, and I'm delighted to say that for this episode we are, as you can probably hear at home in podcast land, not in our usual studio, but we're out and about. We're at the Conservatoire in Birmingham, in the beautiful Jazz Club, as guests of the Birmingham Literature Festival 2019. We are, yes. And this will be going out in 2019 as well, with a live audience who are being very, very quiet. Thank you. And I hope that you here in the room will show your appreciation as I introduce our brilliant guests for this episode of the podcast, Liz Berry and Stuart McConey. Thank God we're not in the bigger room. Could have taken longer to get here. But Stuart and Liz, hello and welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Hello.
Hello.
It's lovely to be here. Hiya.
Now, Liz Berry, as many of you here will know, is a black country poet. Her first book of poems was called Black Country, and it was described as, I'm quoting, a sooty, soaring hymn to her native West Midlands. Fair?
Hopefully fair.
Fair enough. And that won several awards, including the Forward Prize for Best First Collection in 2014. And the title poem from her pamphlet, The Republic of Motherhood, won the Forward Prize for the Best Single Poem 2018.
That's right.
And Liz comes here today with a DY3 postmark.
Yes, DY3, Dudley.
And that's where you're from?
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
And you can't rub it off?
No, because I've now crossed the border into B13, Birmingham.
but it's the Dudley postmark that still has the meaning to you.
It is.
That's you.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, do you still send postcards?
I do, although in two quite different ways. So when we go on holiday to the seaside, I always make my children send postcards.
Very good.
To their grandparents. I don't send them anymore. I've passed the baton on. But I use them quite a lot for
How old are your children? Are they old enough to write them?
My eldest is, unfortunately for him, now 5, so he can write.
Oh, OK. But we can't expect too much from a 5-year-old, can we?
Well, I've got quite high expectations. No. I use postcards quite a lot in my work when I'm teaching other poets. I like to get people at the end of a course or a block of time working together to write a little postcard to their future selves. They can choose one out of my collection and it's just like a word.
So you give them a blank?
Yeah, so they can choose whatever pitch they want, but the postcard on the back is blank. And they write their address and then they write a little word of encouragement to their future selves, something to keep them going on a dark day. And then I keep them secretly in a folder. And 6 months later, I send my partner off to the post office to post them back to the
So writers. It comes true, effectively, this sort of wish for the future.
Yeah.
And do they judge then how they measure up against that?
Well, I think it's more a word of encouragement, like sort of keep going, keep the faith. I try to make a point of never reading them as it feels very private. But once someone had put their postcard upside down on the folder, so I got to read it. And it was so beautiful. A lady had just written to herself, "Dear X, remember, February ends. Ooh. Love, X."
Very good.
That's a poem. Good. So beautiful.
Definitely. That's terrific. Well, thank you for that. I'm glad you got the kids sending the postcards.
Yes.
Now, Stuart McConey will be very well known to the audience here in Birmingham and also listeners in the podcasting world. He is, of course, one of our best-loved broadcasters. I wanted to call you a cultural commentator, but I'd rather call you a cultural observer.
Right, yeah.
And a writer, of course. You'll know Stuart from his books Cider with Roadies, Pies and Prejudice, Adventures on the High Tees, and his most recent books where he finally put the puns behind him. The magisterial, the people's songs, and the timely, The Long Road from Jarrow. And on the radio, of course, you'll know Stuart from attempting to solve the riddles on the Round Britain quiz and on Six Music as co-host with Mark Radcliffe of the Weekend Breakfast Show now, and exploring the outer limits of music on his fabulous furry Freak Zone.
Right now.
Right, you're on air now.
Thanks to the lie that radio tells right this minute. Yeah. I took a picture of you. Sorry, you heard me crunching around at the back. And I took a picture of you and the postcard to tweet. And then I thought, if I do that right now, someone will say, "You're on the radio now."
Yes.
And someone's whole conception of entertainment will collapse.
Yes, it'll be Anton Deck all over again.
Exactly.
Now, Stuart comes to us with a series of very smudgy postmarks. I'm told WN5.
WN5, I guess, originally. That's Worsley Mains, Wigan, which is where I'm from.
Yeah. And then B67?
B67, which is Burwood, which is where I have lived since becoming, I guess, an adopted Brummy stroke black country person 20-odd years ago now.
And then the ink is also wet still from CA11?
Which is Ullswater in the Lake District, which is where I spend a lot of time, particularly when I'm writing, yeah.
Very good. So all within a radius of how many miles?
Quite a long way, actually.
Yeah, it's not that
feels
direct,
it when you're going up the M6 between one and the other. Yeah.
Now, Stuart, when did you last send a postcard?
This morning.
Good work.
This morning
you
at
win.
At my desk in Salford. I love postcards and I love sending them. I think they are just a fabulous way of communication. The picture, the kind of terse, epigrammatic, can be funny, can be moving way of the. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. It can really just say, with compliments. You know, if I'm sending someone a record, I send a lot of records to people and a lot of books to people, or I get a lot of records and books. And what I'm in my desk at home in Brum and in my desk at work, I have piles of cards that I collect either from going to art galleries or freebies that I'll pick up from anywhere and everywhere, or old ones, and I have a stash of them.
This is brilliant.
And if I... And, yeah, sometimes if someone sends me a record and I don't think it's right for what I do on the radio, but I like it or I think it's encouraging, I'll just say, "No, probably can't play this, but keep up the good work," and just send a postcard, because I think that's a really sweet thing to get.
Brilliant, brilliant.
You know, and, well, yeah, or sometimes if I'm just sending a mate, in the business we're in, I get sent books. If I get two of a book, I might send it to a mate and put it in the post, and I'll just shove a postcard in. So I thought you might like this. I sent a copy of the excellent Common People anthology, actually, that we're talking about at the festival later this week. I sent a copy of that to a friend of mine with a little postcard in it saying, "I think you'll like this." I'm an inveterate postcard sender, and I get them a lot as well, because I receive a lot of records and books, and I can tell you that I look quite kindly on that handful of record companies. I won't name them now, but they'll know who they are if they hear this, of independent record companies who always include a funny or quirky little vintage postcard instead of a mass-produced compliment slip.
Very
and
good.
And some of them do. And that is a really nice way of making me look favourably upon your record. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrific. Perhaps we should do a straw poll in the audience. Who in the audience still sends postcards?
Oh, that's good. Ooh,
there's, I'd say, 80%.
Yeah, lots.
We've got the right people then. This is terrific. This is terrific. Well, before we discover the postcards that Liz and Stuart have brought along to share with all of us, I'll give you a quick one of mine. This is, of course, a postcard from the past card, like I do on Twitter, a past postcard, a card from which I've taken just a small part of the message. So it's a multi-view of Liverpool, very distinctive, across the Mersey to the Liver Building. If I was more interested in cars, I'd probably find the old cars quite interesting, actually. Pair of sort of Jeep things. I don't know why they've suddenly found their way there. And is that the Mersey Tunnel they're going into?
Yep, I think it is.
They've just come out. Okay. Now, the message is it's a mixture of optimism and kind of stoic behaviour, really. Car okay, apart from puncture. Sunshine now, but no doubt rain on the way. That is, I mean, come on. No doubt rain on the way. We all know people like that. Another quick one of these. This is Kingston-on-Thames, not far from where I grew up, actually. And I remember Bentall's shop very well. Bought a number of records. When big department stores had record departments.
Yeah.
And because they had a funny stocking system, or restocking system, they reduced them in a way that record shops didn't. So you could get cheap ones because they hadn't sold.
Yes.
They didn't have a kind of sale or return system. So I remember buying a lot of records in Bentall's. Anyway, enough about my record collection. This, not entirely enough, because this is also about... It's a threepenny stamp, 1973, sent to North Devon, and they're talking about buying records. So it's kind of with Stuart in mind, I brought this one along. I've bought Woodstock, and it must be the best LP ever made.
Wow.
Also, bought a free LP, free the pop group, but we'll change it if possible. less impressed with that one. Looking forward to Status Quo on Saturday. So and you don't get that many postcards with references to music on them, or pop music. But there you go. I need to remind people at home, the listeners at home, not in the room. In the room, we're seeing these, but at home, you'll be able to see all the images of the cards that we're featuring today on the website, which is podcastinthepast.co.uk, and you see that we're not making it up. Now, Liz and Stuart have been very kind. They brought postcards from their homes along with them today. Liz, let's start with you. Could you tell me about the first card you brought along?
So I've bought this absolutely gorgeous postcard of the Springvale Steelworks around the turn of the century. It's such an extraordinarily beautiful image. I think when it's blown up big, you can see how sort of painterly and gorgeous and incredibly romantic it looks. Yeah. So from afar, you think, what is this heavenly land? And then you go close and you say, oh, the Springvale Steelworks by night. I love that by night element. I just thought it's so beautiful, but also that archetypal Black Country thing of that mix of incredible beauty along with heavy industry. You've got the moon, you've got some smoke, you've got the cut in there, the canal in the middle. I just think it paints a really enchanting picture. And when you peep in, you've got all that gorgeous grit that we really associate with the region.
It's amazing. There was a big fashion for pictures of cities by night.
Yeah.
And they were nearly always fabricated. They couldn't really take pictures by night in these days. Do you have a date on this one?
I think it's 04.
1904, yeah. They couldn't really take very good night pictures. So they would take a picture in the daytime and sort of make it look, put a full sky. And I'm sure I suspect there's a real photograph deep down under this. But they've artworked it to such an extent that it's painterly because I think it's mainly painted.
It's beautiful though, isn't it? It's a bit like the futurists, isn't it? It's a bit like those Italian futurist art people who saw the beauty in
the industrial
machinery and the industrial, yeah.
Well, and then they clearly thought someone would buy this. So they thought this was a commercial view to show. And they're right, it's beautiful. But it also would mean something to people who were visiting or lived locally.
Yeah.
Lived locally or perhaps people that worked there. This was actually the steelworks where my grandparents worked.
Oh, OK.
So it feels additionally beautiful because of that personal connection. So I always wonder if it might have been sent to people that lived, you know, far away from family that sent it, if this is where they worked. Because, of course, so many people came to the Black Country in the West Midlands for work.
So they had relatives elsewhere. And, in fact, I think that is one of the reasons, there are many reasons why postcards sort of boomed at the beginning of the 20th century, but one is people were travelling away from home. So there was a kind of reason to send things because lots of people had moved for work, whether it was coming to London for domestic service or, as you say, you know, coming to work here. And this isn't from your family. You've bought this secondhand.
No, I love postcards, and so my partner bought it for me.
But I'll show the back, shall I?
Yeah. What's really intriguing about it is it only
£4. £4.50. These poets do quite well, you know.
This postcard only made it as far as Kidderminster. But I think what's sort of really unusual and enchanting about it is it was sent, it's been stamped with a Sedgley postmark, that's where I'm from, Sedgley, but there's no message at all. Someone wrote it and sent it blank. Now, isn't there a million stories hiding in that postcard all of a sudden?
And that is, I mean, I look at a lot of postcards, and that's quite unusual. To see something addressed and not sent, that's quite common. We've all done that. But actually to see it sent but without a message is nice, or intriguing, I don't know.
And I guess written but not addressed. Because you think you write the card and the address is the last thing you do.
Yeah.
It's that way around. That's hard, isn't it? Yeah. As if they intended to send it blank.
Yes.
Yeah.
A message. Well, maybe the picture was the message in this case. Yeah. Next time, do send me a picture of where you're working. But we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Unless we can find Sissy George's descendants. Very good. Now, you've got another one that also has a local-ish connection?
I have. So I've bought this, again, really old, beautiful postcard, which you may think when you look at it is the entrance to heaven itself.
That's what I thought.
But then you peep closer and it's in fact the entrance to the Wren's Nest from Dudley Castle.
It's beautiful.
I just think it's gorgeous. Again, it was another one my partner bought for me. It's incredibly romantic. And again, it's got that thing about the Black Country and in particular the Wren's Nest. It sounds like this gorgeous lyrical place, the Wren's Nest. And it is, it's this great site of geological interest, but actually it's kind of encircled by a huge post-war housing estate, which I think is, again, archetypally Black Country and what makes it a little hidden gem.
What, do you have a date on this one?
So I think this one, it looks like it's 03.
Probably, yes.
So very old. And the writing on the back.
Oh, well, can we show? Voila.
It's kind of that nothinky writing. It's basically someone saying to their beloved, I started to write, I've been called away, but I'll write tomorrow. But then it ends with, yours forever. Oh, yours forever.
I also like the fact they're writing about writing.
Yeah, writing about not writing.
Yes. And I suppose, yes, making excuses to some extent.
Yeah.
Very good. And in fact, one of the things you get a lot on postcards is because postcards are what you write, letters are what you promise. Mm. And letters were considered serious and people would be expected to return a correspondence, but they dash off a postcard in between. I suppose we sort of do that. I'll send you a proper email later.
Yeah. I always think with a postcard like this, though, it's obviously between two lovers, and they're saying, I'll write tomorrow, and I think, now, inside that letter in the sealed envelope, then we'd have got the really good stuff, wouldn't we?
Because this could be seen by
the
brother, the mother.
Yeah, the mom, the dad. But in that sealed envelope, that's where you get all the real romantic treasure, I think.
And it's more romantic because we'll never see it.
Mm.
But I must say, just to go back to the picture, because I love the colouring on this.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
I mean, I guess it's a black and white photograph deep down that's been coloured up so effusively and with these lovely sort of pinks in it. It's, very nice card. Well done. I like that one.
Thank you.
You actually have a poem.
Yeah, no. I write loads about the Black Country and the West Mids and also the Wren's Nest. And this is, I guess, it does kind of what that postcard does. It imagines the Wren's Nest in a really romantic way. It's about the night my partner was born. We're both from Dudley. The night you were born. It was a month before me. All the lights in the Black Country out for the evening. Wren's Nest tucked under a blanket of darkness. Mithered only by the fog beams of your dad's van as it sped to the hospital. In the back, the dog, snuffling in a bed of tools and wood shavings. In the front, your mum, panting on the turns, a frightened moon face waning at the window. I think about that night when I dozed, heavy with our sun in the snow-soft hours. What it would have been to have seen you, pushed, howling from that red tent of legs, the first word on the page of our story. I press myself against you in the darkness. Listen for your murmur as he moves inside me. Oh, love, I can almost hear it now. That first cry, a raw thread of sound spooling through winter to stitch our lives together.
Thank you, Liz. That was beautiful.
Pleasure.
And interesting to see it again juxtaposed. Hear that juxtaposed with the card. Very, very good. Now, Stuart, We're going to start with the first of your cards.
OK.
A visual reminder of which one it is, yeah?
Just have a reminder of which one it is.
There we are.
Oh, OK.
So what's this slightly abstract thing I can see?
Well, all the cards I've brought, as you'll notice, and you'll have noticed when I sent them to you, I've still got blue tack on the back because they were all just pulled down from my desk.
Brilliant.
Where I write, where I have postcards. It is festooned with postcards, which is a lovely thing about postcards that you can't do with an email or even a letter.
True enough.
And this is just one of my favourite things, particularly to look at when I work. It's a picture. It's arguable what the piece of art really here is. It's by a gentleman called Richard Long, who's a famous modern British artist, who was a sort of doyen, the don of British artists of the 60s and 70s, of a particular kind of artist, which I suppose, what word you'd use? Conceptual art, I suppose, is what we'd say about it.
Landscape art, is that what they call them?
Landscape art, yeah, I guess, landscape art, but there's also a conceptual element to it as well. It's called England 1968, and it's essentially, let me get this absolutely right, I did have it on my phone, is basically a cross, an X, mowed or shaved into a field of... It's a meadow, really, in England, isn't it?
Daisies, I like.
Daisies, isn't it? Yeah. And it's called England 1968, and the thing is a piece of landscape art. Richard Long was interested in making a mark in the landscape that would change it in some way, and that change is the art, so it's this artificial shape, but will disappear.
It's evanescent.
It's utterly evanescent. And the moment is captured in this photograph.
Yes.
The photograph of which is in the Tate Gallery, and the postcard I bought from there. But the actual piece of art is really that shape being made in the landscape and the fact that it will not last. And it just sums up. I did history of art A-level, which I absolutely loved, because I thought it was intellectually, without it sounding pretentious, it was one of the most liberating and educational things I've ever done, because even more so than reading literature, you found out about politics and all kinds of things through the history of art, particularly modern art. I just mentioned the futurists, you know, but through the centuries, art has given us a window into what's happening in human society and in individual artists' minds. And I really got this straight away. And I know some people think this kind of thing is rubbish. They think art is, you know, a bowl of fruit or whatever, or a nice landscape. But I immediately got this, even as a teenager when I was doing it, I thought, I get what this guy's doing. I completely get what this guy's doing. It's about the evanescence, as you say. But the fact that it's called England 1968, I'm a real romantic, and I'm also a sucker for things with a real sense of place and time, and it is England 1968.
And why is it England 1968? Is it just because that's when he did it, or...?
I think that's just because when he did it, but because there's a notion of romanticism about it. I find quite hard to put into absolute words, but it's the same feeling that Bedford during the Second World War... I write about this in my last book. Bedford during the Second World War became the headquarters of the BBC. The BBC moved out of London and in secret broadcast from Bedford, but didn't tell people where they'd gone. So the Nazis didn't know where they were broadcasting from, and neither did most British people. And at the end of the broadcast, they would simply say, "We come to you from somewhere in England." And that kind of mystery and romanticism is in this as well. We don't exactly know where this is,
right,
but it captures a moment in England in 1968. And if you want to, you can think about prosaically, what else was happening in 68? They were fighting in Grosvenor Square about the Vietnam War. George Best was winning the FA Cup, the European Cup for Manchester United. But none of that is in this picture. But it is still that moment captured in time. It's a hard thing to put into words why I find it so mysterious and beautiful. But I do, and I've always since then been a great supporter of conceptual and landscape art. When reactionary forces sort of say, "No, it's rubbish, anybody can do that." Well, no, they can't. Well, you didn't for a start, did you? You know.
I think that's brilliantly explained, and I can kind of feel your enthusiasm and appreciation. As a postcard person,
yes,
it interests me because you'll be familiar with the postcards that people, when they go on holiday to a tower block in the Costa del Sol, you'll put a cross on your room. That's where we were. And I'm sure this wasn't what Richard Long had in mind, but I feel like isn't the cross, here's where I was?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I think I'm sure it has a cross and a crucifix element as well.
Yeah, but, and I'm lucky enough now to write in a lovely leafy part of Birmingham where I've got a woodland on my doorstep, so I can get up from my desk and be in countryside in minutes, literally. But this has followed me around quite a long time, this postcard, or copies of it, from being 15 or 16.
Really?
Yes. And so when I've been in horrible student flats and not so nice houses, also you can look up and see this on your windowsill, and it is a bit of the English countryside there as well, you know.
Yes, and I suppose the joy of a postcard is it is a... They used to talk about this when Postcards started. That it's like a pocket picture gallery. So it's very democratic in that sense. You can spend your 20p, your 40p, your £1, and it's yours. And in your case, you've held on to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that one. Let's see your next card. Ah, from the country to the city.
The next one of mine are both cards that were sent to me. So they have a personal relevance. So this is a backstreet scene in Salford in 1962.
Oh, it's Salford?
Salford, 1962. You can almost see that it's Coronation Street, can't you? It's the opening credits of Coronation Street. So this is roughly my part of the world, and it's roughly about the time I was born. And so there's that personal stuff as well. But what happened about this was that it's a fan postcard. For my last book, I retraced the route of the Jarrow Marches of 1936. And the famous... Well, I thought it was famous. I began to find out that a lot of people didn't know what it was or thought it was something entirely different from what it really was. But this famous protest march, and protest in the mildest of senses, they were very supplicant and well-behaved. They marched from Jarrow to London in order to petition the government for a new steelworks to replace the shipyard that had closed down in their town. And when it ended, when I'd ended and done the walk and someone had clearly read the book, it's a sort of fan letter from a family. Because if you see here, there's different writings on there, including some of the younger people. You are really strong and you can do this. Good luck from Mia. So oh. That's a little girl who sent it to me. One step at a time, the journey is the destination, Liam. And then Sarah, I think, is the person who sent it to me. Said, this is good that you are the sacrifices of the past and publicise the current injustices, all the best. But I don't want to dwell on that, really, because it's not like, hey, this was great, it's all about my book. It's just a great picture, isn't it? It's.
Do we know who took it?
Do we know who took it? That's very good. It's from a Blood Axe book, actually, of 1989, called... Oh, Shirley Baker.
OK.
Shirley Baker, photograph from Street Photograph, Salford, 1962. You would never call it beautiful, but it's certainly evocative. Is that kid the second from the left smoking a pipe? It suddenly occurs to me that he is. But it looks
He's
so...
having a thoughtful pull on his pipe.
It looks so... I mean, look at those two little lads. They look like old men,
don't
they? Isn't it fantastic?
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. And the kid in like a cowboy hat here on there.
I thought he was dressed like a Bavarian.
I know, he does.
He'll be slapping his thigh in a minute.
But the thing is, and it also reminds me a little about how, and this will apply to the Black Country and Birmingham as much as it does to the north of England, how this was very much the landscape I grew up in as a little kid. And, you know, we're quite a long way after the Second World War here. But basically, Britain looked like the Second World War till about 1978, didn't it?
Yeah. You didn't know that at the time.
No.
But you can see it in hindsight now.
It's like, you know, Salford, where we're now at the BBC, and the glittering media hub of Media City, not that long ago, was a bomb site and a derelict docks. Britain has kind of gentrified itself pretty quickly in the last few years. Birmingham, for instance. You know what I mean? But Brum's done that amazingly down Brindley Place and the canals down there like that. The Second World War cast a massively long shadow of a British kind of cultural life and the way our cities looked until relatively late, the 80s and 90s, I think. I just think it's kind of funny, it's kind of tough. It's sort of... I mean, it looks vaguely staged, but still,
you can't stage kids, though, can you? You can't quite stage them.
No, I bet you can't. I bet you can't. And the older girl here is looking kind of slightly contemptuous of our two mates here with the pipe.
I told you not to bring the pipe.
I'm a real sucker as well for where are those kids now?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, where are those kids now? What did they do? What did they belong to?
And this isn't ancient history. No, they'll only be a couple of years older than us.
This is 62. Yeah. So, yeah, God willing, all these kids are still with us. And, in fact, you haven't seen them. They're in the audience.
Hey!
You can stand up now.
But I love that. But I love the fact that it's a moment in time for those kids, you know, that lasts a second. Like, you must have pictures of yourself as a little child. I have one picture of myself as a little child that's one of the few I've got. And I vaguely remember a man coming to take a picture. And it's a second of your busy childhood day. But it's immortalised. That moment in Salford in 62 is immortalised. I love that.
And there weren't so many pictures.
No.
You know, now everything is catalogued and recorded.
Oh, yeah, which I wonder how I feel about that. My little grandsons, every second of their childhood will be recorded. And I'm not sure that's entirely a good thing. I mean,
but so will everyone else's.
So will everyone else's. But previously, that was the kind of attention afforded to, like, the royal family and dictators, wasn't it?
And look how they turn out.
I'm just not sure that level of self-absorption and self-recording is good for us. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, well, we can't do anything about it. The genie's out of the bottle on that one.
No, we stand Canute-like against that tide.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, that's fantastic. Thank you for those cards, Stuart. I always feel like I'm kind of taking us back to the shallow end. what's wrong with that? Light and shade. Here's, hopefully... fantastic pun. Fantastic pun. I've turned my back on work. And actually, I love it. I love that kind of... glamour of her red dress. It's terrific.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like it's a letdown at Great Yarmouth.
Never a letdown.
No, exactly. Far from it. What a snob. No, far from it. Apart from it being an irresistible picture, the message... I don't know. I find these... I can't not cherish these messages. This one says, camp has everything. So there must be a holiday camp. I even... came third in egg and spoon race.
Yes. Champion!
Exactly. Yeah. And third was good enough.
Yes, yeah. Third's brilliant.
I'd normally do another funny one. I've got a couple of old Birmingham cards. Because we're here, I thought I'd make the effort. These are cards from, well, we'll see, 1909. So we're way back before the Silver Age, right back into the Golden Age of postcards. And I'm sure there are people in this room who know quite a lot about this. But in July 1909, there was a royal visit, and various industries built these amazing arches to welcome the royal party. And in fact, various buildings were opened and commissioned within Birmingham, including, I think, part of Aston University was sort of founded on that day. Bits of it were set up that day. But I was just intrigued by this kind of amazing temporary structure.
Yeah.
So this is the fireman's welcome. I guess the royal party went under the arches. And I get the impression it was kind of slightly competitive as to which group did which. There's another one. This is the cycle trades. And this is a great show.
Beautiful.
It is, isn't it? Because there's obviously a long exposure in those days. And so this blur, I think, is very attractive. And people on bicycles. In fact, they're definitely better than the firemen, to be honest. Cycle trade welcomes your majesties. And it wasn't a good day. Look, it's absolutely
soaking wet. Yeah, it looks like they're on water.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Floating on their bicycles. I often find these cards quite poetic in their way, visually, because there's just something so odd about those long exposures. And then one last one of these. And this was the gas department. More money, and in fact, I think they've probably had to artwork it in because I think they've touched that up quite considerably, to try and impress.
Is that the gas hall where the art gallery is now? It is, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a message on this one, and it was sent on July the 15th, so I think that would have been 1 week afterwards. It was postmarked, so they'd picked it up. It was produced. They bought it. They turned these cards around quickly in those days. And it's a Dear Gladys. It's not a very funny one, I just thought I'd read it. Dear Gladys, Charlie and I think of cycling over on Sunday, weather permitting. Arrive between 8 and 8.30, but don't provide dinner. Hoping to find you all well from Ada. And that was sent from Birmingham Central to Sutton Coalfield. So it's just being used literally to make a little appointment.
Which is incredible in itself now, isn't it, that we could use the post to do things like that. Another thing in my last book that I talk about when I do the show associated with it is there's a poignant thing I always talk about, which is that 2 days out from Jarrow, one of the marchers opened a sandwich and took the boiled ham from it and put it in the post to send home to his wife and kids who hadn't had meat for 6 weeks. Now, that's a poignant moment, but also, what a great postal service.
Yes.
That you could do that at lunchtime and be almost assured that it would be there for tea time, that bottle of ham. And you could do that. You could almost send a card saying, I'll be around later today, couldn't you?
Well, in those days, you could. And what you could do is you could send a card inviting someone to tea.
Wow.
They could accept and you could cancel in one day. So I would have been doing that for fun.
Yeah.
You're coming to... No, you're not.
No, not.
But you could, because I think there were eight deliveries a day at one stage.
Can I just ask you, as the collector, Tom, of these, how that postcard there, a prosaic postcard sent between two people, how does it then come into your hands? Who sells postcards?
Well...
Am I being stupid? Am I missing something?
No, you're not. These I got last weekend at a postcard fair.
Yes.
There are such things, as in every hobby, they have their sort of places where people congregate. So these I bought specifically for
But
today.
How did it get from Ada and Gladys to there?
That's what I don't...
Is that... How did that... Who sells a bunch of their old postcards?
Well, I mean, I think it's a slightly sad story, because I think they'd have been kept.
They'll have been kept and be in the house clearance.
And the house clearance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But with these, they've probably passed through quite a number of hands before they got to me in Bloomsbury last weekend.
Wow.
Because, whereas the 60s and 70s ones have not. I think they've come from someone who has probably died to a house clearance, to a dealer, to me. It's not a very long journey. But these, I don't know how many hands this has been through. Who knows? Who knows? But it's funny, and I don't think you can ever trace backwards like that.
No.
But I'm always intrigued by those sort of chains of how things get from A to B.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, live, with an audience.
Woo!
Thank you. The Birmingham Literature Festival in the Jazz Club at the Conservatoire. Bohum Lit Fest, if you're on Twitter. Bohum Lit Fest. And my guests today are the poet Liz Berry and writer and broadcaster Stuart McConey. Now, Liz, it's back to you. Now, we're moving into personal areas now, cards that are more up-to-date and to do with your life. So let's start with the next one of those.
You've
spelt it out, Liz.
I have. I think I'm probably a terrible romantic as well. Found this postcard years ago when I was a teenager. Went on a trip to New York with my dad. Just the two of us. That in itself is kind of a weird, special, intimate thing. And I must have picked up this postcard advertising surely the best church ever, the Church of the Heavenly Rest.
Wow.
I think I dream of that a lot now. I'm a mum, actually, the Church of the Heavenly Rest. But I must have really liked it because when I was looking through my postcards, I had at least three copies stuck into notebooks, so you can see they've been on our wall over the years or kept around.
So were they giving them away?
They must have been a free postcard advertising, trying to lure you to come to the Church of the Heavenly Rest.
Good advert.
A really good advert. I think it's just something gorgeously kind of bold and bare and vulnerable about that message. Find true love. It's just that word, true love. And I think about it all the time now, not just in the romantic sense of finding true love with a partner, but it's the true love we look for, I think, with our home, with our kids, with our friends, the people that mean a lot to us. Just think about that word, true love. And what better search could there be in life than the search for true love?
And I guess in America, it's the land of the wayside pulpit. Mm. Those little signs outside churches that use clever advertising-y phrases to get you in.
Actually, there's one of those in King's Heath. I better not name the church, but in King's Heath...
Is it good?
It's brilliant. We went past the other day and it said on the sign, there will be tears and the gnashing of teeth.
Oh, wow. They're normally more cheerful than that, aren't they?
It's brilliant. Once I was driving to playgroup in the rain and it said, is this life all that there is?
So you crashed your car into it.
Yeah. So it makes me laugh.
Very good. But you never actually went to the church?
No, I've not yet attended the Church of Heavenly Rest.
I wonder if it's still going.
I hope so.
It's on Fifth Avenue. This is a smart place.
It's got to be, hasn't it? Yeah.
I thought so. Yes, Donald Trump could go to church on Fifth Avenue and no one would notice. They'd be very surprised, I think. Oh, well, that's the back of it. This is proof. Every blob of blue tack is a sign of love, as far as I can say.
Yes, it's had a lot of love.
Mind you, it's frighteningly modern. Look, Yahoo.
Yes.
Oh, we're in the internet age. And now, this is a extraordinary card from Aberystwyth.
So, my partner and I, we're both from Dudley, and we went our separate ways to university. I went to Scotland and he went to Aberystwyth. And so we fell in love just before the internet and mobile phones hit. So for the first kind of year of our teenage romance, we used to write each other lots of postcards and letters.
Brilliant.
And I've got this really distinct memory of spending ages in a shop in Edinburgh agonising over what postcard to choose that would suggest I was sort of cool and sexy and nonchalant. And eventually...
God, it's tough being young, isn't it?
Well, eventually I chose one of a Westie sitting on a tartan blanket.
Good work.
But it seemed to work. In those first few years, we exchanged lots of these postcards of Edinburgh and Aberystwyth. And so this was one of them. There's just something really idyllic and hilarious about it. But, yeah, it summed up the way I felt about the place at the time.
Is it a real old railway poster, or is it a pastiche?
Yeah.
It looks real.
It's a real one, yeah.
It's very Enid Blyton, the dog, isn't it?
Yeah, incredibly so.
Look how people used to go on holiday then as well.
Exactly.
I know.
No
one in, like, a hoodie or tracky bottoms. That's how to go on holiday, isn't it?
Just so jaunty and in love and carefree.
I'm going to start dressing like that on holiday, like that guy.
You must.
Yeah. A lemon polo shirt with a polka dot cravat. It's beautiful.
Everybody needs a little cravat, I think, on holiday.
What's she pointing at?
Oh, just the joyous future ahead.
That's the way out of Aberystwyth.
No, but that... As soon as I saw this, that's an exactly... People who know Aberystwyth will know that is a real spot.
Right.
I think that's called Monument Hill, is it, in Aberystwyth?
Is it Constitution?
Constitution Hill.
Very good.
You can tell I was a lover there. You were very romantic. Well, Constitution Hill.
And you can walk up to that.
Yeah.
Because I wrote a column about this once for the Country Walking Magazine.
Oh, perfect.
On a horribly stormy day, you walk up there, and there's like a funicular railway thing that goes up.
Yes,
but
there
but
is. I've seen it on postcards.
But you walk up there, and I remember standing there where they are, looking down at Aberystwyth and seeing these enormous waves crashing and thinking, and it gave me a real sense, actually. I think about it a lot. I've looked at these tiny towns and shops, these tiny houses and shops, and thinking, the sea could obliterate this place.
Yes.
It was such a ferocious storm. And I remember walking back along the seafront and stuff. But that's a real spot, Constitution Hill. Yeah,
very beautiful.
And how close to the edge of the cliff are they?
They're pretty close, but they're young and in love, so...
Yeah, but the dog isn't.
Oh.
I wouldn't put my dog near the edge of a cliff. Oh, I guess it's only a painting. Very good. And that was obviously sent
I am president of Ramblers, by the way. I'm president of Ramblers GB, so I have to say that isn't a good way to go up hills, by the way.
No.
And we take a dim view of that.
Yeah.
That footwear doesn't look right, waterproof clothing. That's exactly the kind of thing that the Mountain Rescue hates.
Exactly. I don't know if it was the shoes or the cravat that worried you.
I mean, I do like it on a stylistic and aesthetic level, but with my Ramblers head on, I have to say, no. This won't pass muster at all. This could almost be a poster for the Ramblers with a big red cross through it.
How not to do it. And I think you've got one more of these romantic cards, if I've got mine.
I have. I've forgotten all about work at Aberystwyth.
This is brilliant.
I just love the many sort of puns and jokes on postcards. And actually... This has kind of been around our house for so many years that it's all sort of torn and tattered on the back. And it was one of those ones never written, but just probably put inside a letter or...
Yeah.
Is it from the 1960s?
Envelope. I think it's
a modern reproduction?
I think it's a modern reproduction.
Really?
Yeah. But it was so true as well. My partner was notorious for forgetting all about work at Aberystwyth.
But he wasn't on holiday, he was studying.
No, he was studying there.
But you made a good point, Tom, about this picture, that clearly... Clearly, they really haven't forgotten about your face.
Yeah, it's in massive letters, isn't it?
I mean, it's very much...
Work!
It's very much uppermost in their mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably should say, if only I could forget about work.
It might as well say, imagine a picture of a person holding their head in their hands saying, hardly ever thinking about work at all.
And that card, of course, would be perfect to send to your colleagues in the workplace.
Of course.
Yes.
Which that, and I think that the postcard to the workplace has pretty much completely gone. I don't think people do that anymore.
No.
And that was a real thing. There was always someone who liked to hold on to them and put them on the wall with a...
People did it in pubs as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Because I remember pub regulars would have a little postcard. Someone sent... Because I remember... I'm trying to get the details of this. I think what happened was... You know those moments in pubs where everything stops for a second and you hear a lone voice when conversation stops? And a woman at the bar said, how's the pork pie situation, Jean? And then a few weeks later, my friend Jeff went on holiday to the Holy Land and sent a postcard back from behind the bar that just read, pork pie situation not good.
That is a postcard correspondence. Brilliant.
But you used to do it, didn't you? Regulars would send a postcard and they'd pin it up behind the bar.
Yeah. Or have you sent one to the pub yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've done your auntie, but have you done the pub?
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. Now, Liz, thank you for sharing these very heartfelt romantic cards. But I think it's a real sign of something that you've held on to them.
It is. It's funny. I've been sent so many postcards over the years. I expected to kind of have more in the collection. But I wonder if you just hold on to the little treasures, you know, through house moves and life and clearances. It says something, the ones that are really precious to you are still hidden inside a book or upon your desk somewhere you can look at.
I do say, sometimes when we have guests coming to the show and they say, oh, I've got loads of postcards, I just don't know where they are. And I say, well, go to your bookcase, give it a shake.
Yeah.
You will find the cards you... It'll also tell you where you stopped reading that book.
Yeah,
But the card will come out, and those could be real time capsules. Things you didn't expect to see. Who was that from?
Exactly.
So very good. So Stuart, we've got the last card of yours now, I think.
Yeah.
And here it comes.
This is just because it's. I figured I had to have something vaguely to do with friendship and with pop music, because if it wasn't for pop music, I like to do lots of other things now. But I'm always very conscious that if it isn't for pop music and my love of it as a 12-year-old. I wouldn't do any of the good things I do now. So I'm kind of really grateful to it in a way. It's been a doorway into a whole other world. And now I can write books about politics and I can be president of Ramblers and do all those lovely things of other things I'm interested in. But if it hadn't been for loving pop music, I think for a lot of people from my background and my generation, it was a way in. I mean, I say this a lot. The Times were never going to take me on as a novel reviewer, you know what I mean, as a fiction reviewer.
Yes, but your uncle couldn't get you a job there.
Exactly, yeah. You know what I mean? So, but I know that the golden era of the British pop press, which I came in probably the death of, not saying those two events are coincidence, you know, there's no synchronicity there, yeah.
Of course not.
But there was Record Mirror, there was Sounds, there was NME, there was Melody Maker. It was part of it was an education, because you would pick up those things every Wednesday and not just read about albums and not just read about nimble bass lines and production techniques, but you'd read about who's Jack Kerouac, who's J.G. Ballard, you know, because bands would talk about these things. And so it was a real education before I ever went to university in that world.
The music press was clever at that time.
It was clever,
it was
really funny,
wanted to be smart.
It was sharp, and someone like me from the background I came to sent an unsolicited review to the music press, to the NME, and they gave me a job by return of post, pretty much, which is astonishing. And I'm forever grateful to that, because I always say, I say in my new book, that one of the, you know, capitalism gets a lot of flack from me, but one of the things you can't argue about capitalism is the IPC magazines, the divisions of Reed Publishing, did not care where I was from or what university I'd been to or who my family was. If they thought I could sell them some copies of a newspaper, they would have me. So it's quite democratic and bracing in that way, you know. And they just thought, yeah. And this reflects that love of it. This is my friend's The Manic Street Preachers. And it is the first ever promotional shot. And
these are young men here.
If people know the Manics, I don't know if they do, there's Nicky Wire with blonde hair on the right. And there's a very young-looking James Dean Bradfield on the left. And the person you see turning away there, I think, is now, sadly, the long-disappeared Richie Edwards. And it's so full of the kind of exuberance of youth. I love that picture. This is when the lad's starting off in Blackwood in South Wales. And they're a very particular band to have on this, because they too, I think, are a representation of something that's in danger of disappearing from our pop culture. The brilliant working class autodidact. You know what I mean? They are, if anyone knows the Manics, they are incredibly clever. And in that sort of slightly puritanical working class way of the self-educated. I first fell in love with them when I was at the NME, and we sent out a questionnaire every week. I'd sent this questionnaire called The Material World Of, and it was basically, what can you cook? What TV shows do you like? It was the standard Q&A. They're all broadsheets and people do these days. And I would always get the same tedious answers. The same tedious answers.
From pop stars.
Yeah, don't really watch TV. I like this and I like, you know what I mean. And Reetis, the Mannix sent back, they'd only just started, they sent back not their own answer, but a quotation from someone else that answered each question from Sylvia Plath, or Chairman Mao, or Norman Mailer, or Gore Vidal, or John Updike, or George Best. They sent quotations, and I just thought, wow, these are smart cookies and I want to meet them. And they were the total working class autodidacts. I remember we sent one of those infamous, you know, student specials. Every newspaper and magazine still does this. It's excruciating. Every September, student survival guide, what do you take? And it's all about, hey, don't forget to get some condoms and some toilet roll and the Mannix. It's all that kind of stuff. Which is, and the Mannix, Richie sent his reply back and it said, make use of the, don't just spend all your time in trivial matters. Make use of the university library. It's the best free education you can ever have. I do quite like that slightly puritanical working class autodidact thing. And they're just great. And this is, oh yeah, and this is just...
Here's the message.
This is his message. This must be quite late on. Hey, Stuart, thanks again for the biog. I'd obviously written them a biog and Airplay. It's been a great few months. See you soon. Wire. So, it's nice because it's a postcard from a friend, but it also has a lot of the things that are important to me in my life about music and politics and stuff are tied up in it.
These people in particular, your relationship with them has carried on, hasn't it? And you've worked with them and...
Yeah, they are. I think they're the last of a dying breed of British pop band, really. The articulate, passionate, politically engaged, brilliant, working-class British pop band. I think they are the last of a breed that probably begins with the Beatles and... I could be wrong. There's maybe a handful left, and that's a terrible old man thing to say. But I think of a particular breed. And it's fine if it's gone. The world changes. The world moves on, you know. Music hall came and went.
Yes.
The studio system came and went. It's not a bad thing if rock music and that kind of rock comes and goes, but they might be the last great example of that particular art form we've got.
Very good.
It's really beautiful to see someone's handwriting.
It is, isn't
well.
It?
We don't see it very often anymore.
It's real art school handwriting as
is
well.
Is it? Yeah.
I think that's... I'm jealous of writing that people can read. My writing is so tiny. But and it's exuberant as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Slightly larger than life.
Yeah.
Very good. Oh, well, thank you. We've had some pop stars in this podcast. We've not had a postcard from a pop star. So that's terrific. Thank you for sharing that with us. Look, thank you both so much. I'm thrilled that you shared these little cardboard prompts to stories, little Proustian oblongs, and with the audience here in Birmingham, and with the podcast listeners who are all round the world and listening to this in tonight, years to come, whenever they come, when they choose to download it. A quick reminder for people at home who haven't had the advantage of seeing the cards on the screen, all images of all the cards are going to be on the blog, which is postcardfromthepast.co.uk, and including one last one from me in the past postcard style. And this is really just cryptic. So I don't know, maybe people can tell me what it means. I don't know what it means. It's from 1974, 3.5p stamp, sent to Durham from Chelmsford in Essex. A beautiful bucolic view of a mill on a sunny day with a slightly unlikely clouds in the sky. And the message ends, and the bit I took from it was, three cheers for Mrs. Brown. And that's it. I'm all for it, but I don't know what it means. No idea what it means. Before we let Liz and Stuart back home again, I've got one more card for them to have a look at, and it's become customary for us to end the programme on one of these. So I don't know if you've seen one of these before, Stuart, as the Music Man.
Oh, it's a record.
Oh.
It's got grooves embossed into it, yes.
Yes, or sort of laminated on.
Laminated
somehow.
On.
I'm not sure.
You must visit the beautiful island.
Or is it everyone see it? Have they were.
You must visit the beautiful island. It's Nassau in the Bahamas, yeah.
Regards.
So you, I don't know if you can see the grooves on there in the audience.
Very formal.
It's a postcard that's a record. And often these, I think these came with an envelope so people could send them in. But this one actually has been sent through the post, which is a risky thing to do.
Yeah.
Vinyl records were fairly vulnerable. But these are micro grooves. There's hardly anything to them. Now, the gentlemen at the back have already played this on a turntable in Fitzrovia in London, and I think we should be able to hear what it sounds like.
Ah, yes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you'd expect, I think. It's kind of carnival music, I think.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the distinctive arrangement style of Dennis Dalton, isn't it?
Oh, he's good. He's good.
Sounds like Richie Delamore singing to me. He said, reading the credits on the back of the postcard.
Well, as the Bahamian traffic policeman halts the rotating carriage at 33 and a third forever. That's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank the organisers of this terrific event, my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Liz Berry and Stuart McConey. Thank you both. And thank you, the audience here at the Birmingham Literature Festival. And thank you for listening. Bye for now. See more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardourstudios.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.